Part 1. My fiancé asked me to sign a prenup 2 weeks before our wedding, but the contract basically says everything he owns stays his and everything I own becomes ours. I'm still trying to process what happened yesterday. My fiancé Marcus dropped a prenup on me with 2 weeks until our wedding, and after reading through it with my sister who's a paralegal, I'm realizing this document is absolutely insane. I'm 29F, Marcus is 34M and we've been together for 4 years. We got engaged 18 months ago and have been planning what I thought was going to be the perfect wedding. The venue is booked, dress alterations are done, guests have their flights booked. Everything seemed to be falling into place until yesterday afternoon. Marcus works in finance and makes around $180K annually. I'm a veterinarian and make about $120K. We've always been pretty equal partners financially. We split expenses proportionally based on our incomes and we've never had major money conflicts. I knew he had some family money, his parents own a successful construction business, but he's always been modest about it. When we started talking about marriage, the topic of a prenup came up briefly. Marcus mentioned that his parents had suggested it because of some family assets, and I said I was open to discussing it. That was over a year ago and he never brought it up again. I figured he'd decided against it. Yesterday, Marcus came home from work looking nervous. He sat me down and said his lawyer had finally finished drafting our prenuptial agreement. I was confused because I had no idea he'd been working with a lawyer, but I tried to stay positive. He handed me a thick folder and said we should both review it carefully. The document was 23 pages long. As I read through it, my stomach started twisting into knots. This wasn't a standard prenup designed to protect family assets or clarify financial responsibilities. This was something else entirely. According to the agreement, all assets Marcus currently owns or inherits during our marriage remain his separate property. This includes his condo, his investment accounts, his car, and any future inheritance from his family's business. That part seemed reasonable enough. I understood wanting to protect family wealth. But then I got to the section about my assets, and everything changed. According to the prenup, everything I currently own becomes marital property upon our marriage. My house, which I bought 3 years ago and have $80K in equity in, would become joint property. My retirement accounts, my savings, my car, everything transitions from separate to marital property. The really twisted part is what happens in case of divorce. Marcus keeps all his separate property, which under this agreement includes everything he brought into the marriage. Meanwhile, all the marital property, which is basically everything I own, gets split 50-50 between us. So if we divorce, Marcus walks away with 100% of his assets plus 50% of mine. I walk away with 50% of what used to be my own money and property. It's the most one-sided agreement I've ever seen. There's also a clause about debt. Any debt Marcus incurs during our marriage remains his separate responsibility. Any debt I incur becomes marital debt that we're both responsible for. The logic is apparently that since my income will be lower, any debt I take on benefits both of us through lifestyle improvements. I spent 3 hours reading and rereading this document, hoping I was misunderstanding something. When I finally looked up, Marcus was watching me expectantly. I asked him to explain the reasoning behind making my assets marital property while keeping his separate. He said his lawyer recommended structuring it that way because I earn less money, so my contributions to our marriage will be more about homemaking and emotional support rather than financial. Therefore, my assets should benefit both of us since he'll be the primary breadwinner. I pointed out that I make $120K a year and am hardly a dependent housewife. Marcus got defensive and said that compared to his earning potential, my income was supplementary. He said the prenup was designed to reflect our different roles in the marriage. When I asked why he'd waited until 2 weeks before the wedding to present this, he said his parents had insisted on getting everything finalized before the ceremony. Apparently, they'd been pressuring him for months to ensure their family assets were protected, and his lawyer had taken longer than expected to draft everything. I told Marcus I needed time to review the document with my own legal counsel. He seemed surprised and said his lawyer had assured him the agreement was fair and standard. I explained that any major legal document deserves independent review, especially one that affects all my assets. That's when Marcus got upset. He said it felt like I didn't trust him and that getting my own lawyer seemed adversarial. He reminded me that his family was paying for half our wedding and said they'd be hurt if I made this into a big legal battle. I went to bed feeling sick to my stomach. This morning, I called my sister Emma, who works as a paralegal at a family law firm. When I read her some of the key provisions, she was silent for a long moment. Then she said this was the most lopsided prenup she'd ever heard of and that I absolutely needed to get an attorney involved immediately. Emma pointed out that the asset classification made no legal sense. There's no precedent for automatically converting one spouse's separate property into marital property while protecting the other spouse's assets. She said any competent lawyer would have advised against this structure because it's likely unenforceable. But the bigger issue is what this says about how Marcus views our partnership. He's asking me to enter our marriage by giving up legal claim to everything I've worked for while he maintains complete control over his wealth. And he's framing this as protecting his family rather than acknowledging that he's asking me to make a massive financial sacrifice. I have an appointment with a family law attorney this afternoon. But honestly, I'm not sure it matters what the lawyer says. The fact that Marcus thought this arrangement was reasonable tells me everything I need to know about how he sees our relationship. 2 weeks before our wedding, and I'm wondering if I even know the man I'm supposed to marry, the meeting with my attorney was even worse than I expected. What Marcus presented as a standard prenup recommended by his lawyer, is apparently so legally problematic that it borders on malpractice. I met with Sarah Chen, a family law attorney Emma recommended. Sarah has 15 years of experience with prenuptial agreements and has seen everything. When I handed her Marcus's document, she started flipping through it with a neutral expression. By page 5, she was frowning. By page 10, she was shaking her head. When she finished reading, she looked at me like I was the victim of a scam. Sarah's first question was whether I was sure this came from a licensed attorney. The document was so poorly constructed and legally questionable that she wondered if Marcus had used some online service or unqualified legal consultant. When I showed her the letterhead from Marcus's lawyer, Robert Kellerman, she recognized the name and looked even more concerned. According to Sarah, Bob Kellerman primarily handles corporate contracts and has very limited family law experience. More importantly, the prenup he drafted contains multiple provisions that are likely unenforceable and at least 3 clauses that violate state law entirely. The biggest issue is the asset reclassification scheme. Sarah explained that you cannot use a prenuptial agreement to automatically convert one spouse's separate property into marital property. Prenups can only classify how assets will be treated during marriage and upon divorce. They can't force a transfer of ownership at the moment of marriage. What Marcus's prenup attempts to do is make me gift all my assets to our marriage while allowing him to keep his assets separate. This creates what Sarah called unconscionable consideration. A legal term meaning the agreement is so unfairly one-sided that no reasonable person would agree to it. Even if I signed the document, Sarah said a judge would likely throw out the entire agreement for being unconscionably unfair. The asset transfer provisions are so extreme that they'd invalidate the whole contract, leaving us with no prenup at all. But there were other problems too. The debt allocation clause violates state law regarding marital responsibility. The section about future earnings contains language that could be interpreted as limiting my right to make career decisions. There's even a clause about household responsibilities that Sarah said had 1950s housewife vibes and would never hold up in court. Sarah asked if I understood what I'd be giving up by signing this agreement. Based on the assets I described, Marcus would be gaining legal claim to roughly $180,000 of my current wealth, my house equity, savings, and retirement accounts, while I'd gain claim to nothing of his. More disturbing was Sarah's analysis of the divorce provisions. She calculated that if we divorced after 5 years of marriage, assuming normal asset appreciation, Marcus would walk away with roughly $400,000 more than he brought into the marriage. I would walk away with about $200,000 less than I currently own. Sarah's exact words were, "Your fiancé is asking you to pay him $200,000 for the privilege of being married to him." When I asked if there was any scenario where this agreement made sense, Sarah said absolutely not. She's seen prenups designed to protect family businesses, inherited wealth, and previous marriage assets. She's seen agreements that favor the higher-earning spouse or account for different financial contributions. But she'd never seen a prenup designed to transfer wealth from the lower-earning spouse to the higher-earning spouse. Sarah recommended I have Marcus's lawyer explain the legal reasoning behind the asset reclassification. She suspected Bob Kellerman either didn't understand what he'd drafted, or had been pressured into creating an unenforceable document to appease Marcus's family. That evening, I sat Marcus down and explained what my attorney had told me. I said the prenup contained several unenforceable provisions and asked if we could schedule a meeting with his lawyer to discuss revisions. Marcus immediately got defensive. He said Sarah was probably just trying to drum up business by making the agreement sound worse than it was. He accused me of lawyering up against him instead of trusting that his family's attorney knew what he was doing. I pointed out that Bob Kellerman wasn't a family law specialist and might have made mistakes. Marcus said his parents had specifically chosen Bob because they'd worked with him for years and trusted his judgment completely. When I asked Marcus to explain why he thought it was fair for my assets to become marital property, while his remained separate, he gave me the same answer as before: that his earning potential was higher, so the agreement reflected our different contributions to the marriage. I pressed him on this. I asked if he understood that under his prenup, I'd be giving him legal claim to $180,000 of my current assets while gaining claim to none of his. Marcus said he hadn't thought about it in those specific terms, but that the overall structure was designed to protect his family's interests while being fair to both of us. That's when I realized Marcus either genuinely didn't understand his own prenup, or he understood it perfectly and was hoping I wouldn't. Either option was terrifying. I asked Marcus if he'd be willing to sign the same agreement with our roles reversed, his assets becoming marital property while mine remained separate. He said that wouldn't make sense because his family was the one with generational wealth to protect. The conversation ended with Marcus saying he felt like I was trying to sabotage our wedding by making unreasonable demands. He said his parents were already concerned about my commitment to the family, and my reaction to the prenup was confirming their worst fears. This morning I called Sarah back and asked her to draft a counterproposal. If Marcus wants a prenup, we can create one that actually protects both of our interests fairly. But I'm not signing a document that requires me to pay $200,000 for the privilege of marrying someone who apparently sees me as a financial liability rather than an equal partner. Our wedding is in 11 days, and I'm starting to think that might be 10 days too many. I should have known something was seriously wrong when Marcus's parents insisted on an emergency family meeting to discuss my prenup concerns. What I discovered during that meeting made me realize I've been naive about this entire situation. Sarah finished drafting a counterproposal within 48 hours. Her version was everything a prenup should be: fair, balanced, and legally sound. Both spouses keep their premarital assets separate. Both spouses remain responsible for their own premarital debts. Assets acquired during marriage are considered marital property subject to equitable distribution. Future inheritances remain separate property for the recipient. The agreement included standard provisions for spousal support, property division, and asset appreciation. It protected Marcus's family wealth while also protecting my financial independence. Sarah said it was exactly the kind of prenup she'd recommend to any couple with substantial individual assets. When I presented the counterproposal to Marcus, his reaction was immediate and intense. He barely glanced at the document before saying it was completely unacceptable and accused me of trying to grab his family's money. I pointed out that my version actually provided more protection for his inherited assets than his original agreement, but he wasn't interested in listening. Marcus said he needed to discuss this with his parents before making any decisions. That's when he suggested the family meeting, which should have been my first red flag. Why would his parents need to be involved in negotiating our prenuptial agreement? The meeting was scheduled for Sunday afternoon at Marcus's parents' house. His father, Richard, owns Richardson Construction, which has been successful enough to fund a very comfortable lifestyle. His mother, Patricia, manages the business side of the company. I'd always gotten along well with them, so I expected a reasonable conversation about finding middle ground. I was wrong. Richard opened the meeting by saying they were disappointed in my reaction to their prenup. He said they'd spent considerable time and money having the agreement drafted to protect their family's interests, and my rejection felt like a personal attack on their generosity. Patricia jumped in to remind me how much money they were spending on our wedding. She rattled off figures: the venue, the catering, the flowers, Marcus's suit, even my dress alterations. According to her calculations, they were contributing over $35,000 to our wedding expenses. I was confused about why wedding expenses were relevant to our prenup negotiations. That's when Richard explained their perspective, and everything became clear. Richard said the prenup wasn't just about protecting assets, it was about ensuring I understood my role in their family. According to him, I was marrying into a family business that had taken 3 generations to build. My job as Marcus's wife would be to support his career advancement so he could eventually take over the company. Patricia added that they'd seen too many marriages fail because wives didn't understand their priorities. She said successful business families required wives who put the family's financial success ahead of their own career ambitions. The prenup, Richard explained, was designed to ensure my incentives were aligned with the family's goals. By making my assets marital property while keeping Marcus's assets separate, I'd be financially motivated to prioritize our marriage over my individual career success. I asked what they meant by prioritizing the marriage over my career. Patricia said it was simple. When Marcus needed to relocate for business opportunities, I'd need to be flexible about my own job. When the family needed someone to host clients or attend business functions, I'd need to be available. When we had children, I'd need to focus on raising them properly rather than pursuing demanding career goals. Richard said the prenup structure meant I'd benefit financially from Marcus's success while having less to gain from my own independent achievements. This would naturally encourage me to be a supportive wife rather than a competitive career woman. I was speechless. They were describing a prenup designed to financially coerce me into abandoning my career and independence. The asset transfer wasn't a mistake or oversight. It was a deliberate attempt to make me economically dependent on Marcus's success. Marcus sat silently through this entire explanation. When I looked at him for support, he avoided eye contact. I asked Marcus directly if this was how he viewed our marriage. Did he expect me to sacrifice my veterinary career to support his business ambitions? Did he agree with structuring our prenup to pressure me into being a traditional wife? Marcus finally spoke up, saying his parents were just trying to explain the practical realities of being part of a business family. He said successful marriages required compromise, and that he hoped I'd be supportive of his career growth. That's when I realized Marcus had never seen me as an equal partner. Throughout our entire relationship, he'd been planning for me to eventually step back from my career to support his advancement. The prenup wasn't about protecting assets. It was about purchasing my compliance. I stood up and told them I needed time to process everything they'd shared. Patricia said time was running short, with the wedding only 8 days away. She reminded me that vendors needed final payments and that canceling now would be expensive and embarrassing for everyone. Richard added that they'd invested too much in this wedding to let legal technicalities derail everything. He said if I couldn't accept their reasonable prenup terms, maybe I wasn't ready for the responsibilities of being Marcus's wife. I left without agreeing to anything. On the drive home, Marcus kept saying his parents had explained things poorly and that the prenup wasn't as controlling as they'd made it sound. But he couldn't explain how transferring my assets to marital property while keeping his separate could be interpreted any other way. That night, I called Sarah and described the family meeting. Her response was immediate. They just admitted to financial coercion. Everything they described would make the prenup even more unenforceable, but more importantly, you need to seriously reconsider this marriage. Sarah was right. This isn't just about a bad prenup anymore. This is about marrying into a family that views me as an acquisition rather than a person. They're not just asking me to sign an unfair agreement, they're asking me to sign away my independence and career ambitions. 7 days until the wedding, and I finally understand what I'd actually be saying yes to. I canceled the wedding yesterday morning, and the aftermath has been absolutely insane. Marcus's family is showing their true colors, and I'm realizing I dodged the biggest bullet of my life. After the family meeting, I spent 2 sleepless nights thinking about everything. I kept coming back to the same conclusion: this wasn't about money or legal documents. This was about Marcus and his family fundamentally not respecting me as an independent person. Wednesday morning I called Sarah and asked her to help me understand my options. She said I could try to negotiate further modifications to the prenup but warned that the family's attitude suggested deeper problems that no contract could fix. Sarah asked me a question that changed everything. If you sign this prenup and get married, what happens when they decide your career is interfering with Marcus's advancement? What happens when they pressure you to have children immediately? What happens when they expect you to relocate because it benefits the family business? I realized the prenup was just the beginning. Marcus's family had already planned out my entire life, and they expected me to comply because they'd made me financially dependent on their approval. That afternoon, I sat Marcus down for what I hoped would be our final conversation about this mess. I told him I couldn't sign his prenup, but more importantly, I couldn't marry someone who saw our relationship as a business transaction rather than a partnership. Marcus initially tried to downplay his parents' comments. He said they were just old-fashioned and didn't understand modern marriages. But when I pressed him on his own expectations, he finally admitted that he did hope I'd be flexible about my career if his opportunities required it. I asked Marcus point blank, "Do you see me as your equal partner or do you see me as someone who should support your goals?" He hesitated too long before answering. When he finally spoke, he said he saw me as his partner, but that partnerships require different people to play different roles. He said his role was to build wealth and advance professionally, while my role was to create a stable home environment and support his success. That's when I knew it was over. Marcus didn't want a wife. He wanted a highly educated personal assistant who'd given up her legal claim to financial independence. I told Marcus I was calling off the wedding. His immediate reaction wasn't sadness or disappointment. It was panic about the financial implications. He started talking about vendor deposits, guest travel expenses, and how embarrassing this would be for his family. Thursday morning, I spent 3 hours making cancellation calls. The venue was surprisingly understanding and refunded 60% of our deposit. The caterer kept their deposit but waived the final payment. Most vendors were able to cancel or rescale services without major penalties. By Thursday afternoon, I'd saved Marcus's family about $20,000 in final payments and reduced their losses significantly. I thought they'd appreciate my efforts to minimize the financial damage. I was wrong. Friday morning, I received a certified letter from Bob Kellerman, Marcus's family attorney. The letter demanded reimbursement of $47,000 in wedding expenses, claiming I had breached my promise to marry and caused substantial financial damages to the Richardson family. The letter detailed every expense they'd contributed to our relationship, not just wedding costs. They wanted reimbursement for the engagement party they'd hosted 8 months ago, the couple's vacation they'd paid for last year, even meals they'd bought during family visits. Most shocking was their claim that my last-minute rejection of their prenup constituted fraud. They argued that I'd accepted their wedding contributions under false pretenses, knowing I had no intention of signing their agreement. Bob Kellerman's letter concluded by demanding payment within 10 days or they'd file a lawsuit for breach of promise to marry, fraudulent inducement, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. I immediately forwarded the letter to Sarah, who called me back within an hour. She was laughing when she started talking. Sarah explained that breach of promise lawsuits are illegal in our state and have been for over 30 years. The other claims were equally frivolous. You can't commit fraud by refusing to sign an unconscionable prenup. And calling off a wedding doesn't constitute intentional infliction of emotional distress. More importantly, Sarah said their demand letter actually strengthened my position if they did try to sue. By itemizing every gift and contribution they'd made during our relationship, they were creating evidence that these were gifts, not loans requiring repayment. Sarah offered to respond to Bob Kellerman's letter, but I asked her to wait. I wanted to see how far Marcus's family would actually take this. The answer came Sunday morning. Patricia called me screaming about how I'd destroyed their family's reputation and humiliated Marcus in front of everyone. She said I was a gold digger who used them for an expensive wedding, and threatened to make sure everyone knows what kind of person you really are. Richard got on the phone and said they'd already consulted with another attorney, who confirmed they had grounds to sue me. He said they'd be filing papers this week and would also be reporting me to the veterinary board for professional misconduct. I hung up without responding and immediately called Sarah. She said their threats were empty. The veterinary board has no jurisdiction over personal relationship decisions and their legal claims remained frivolous. But Sarah recommended documenting everything in case they escalated further. She said people who threaten baseless lawsuits sometimes follow through just to create harassment and expense. Meanwhile, I started hearing from friends who'd received calls from Marcus or his family. They were telling people I'd called off the wedding because I couldn't handle being part of a successful family and had always been jealous of their wealth. The character assassination campaign confirmed that I'd made the right decision. Marcus's family isn't just controlling. They're vindictive people who can't accept that someone rejected their offer to buy my independence. Yesterday, I got a text from Marcus asking if we could meet to discuss working things out. He said his parents were upset but that we could figure out a compromise that made everyone happy. I didn't respond. There's no compromise possible with people who fundamentally don't respect your right to make independent decisions about your own life. Today marks 1 week since our wedding was supposed to happen. Instead of being on our honeymoon, I'm sitting in my house that I still own, with my assets that are still mine, planning a future that's entirely under my own control. Marcus's family thought they could buy my compliance for the price of a wedding. Instead, they accidentally revealed exactly who they were before I made the biggest mistake of my life. Best $47,000 they never spent.